Ernie Higgins.
Hello and welcome to Checked Books. This week I met with the writer, feminist and environmental campaigner Eva Hauserová to talk about her novel Sokinje, or Mad Woman, before she left Prague to present it in libraries throughout the country as part of National Book Week. Mad Woman tells the story of a time-travelling scientist and uses the science fiction genre to make darkly comic and sardonic comments on Czech society of the 1980s. A newly revised edition of the book was published last month, and I first asked Eva to outline its plot.
This is a story about a woman scientist. She is about 30 years old, and it happens in the 80s, in the totalitarian times. She works as a scientist, as a molecular biologist, and once she got a new device, a new very complicated microscope, and when she works with it, she quite by chance shifts herself back in time, and suddenly it's, I think, 8 years earlier or so. She is just married, she is in an early stage of her pregnancy, and she tries to change her life. I think that every woman sometimes has thoughts as, what if I would not marry my husband, or what if I would not have 2 children but just 1 child, and so on. And she tries to change her life, and gradually she gets in the same stage. She is not very successful in changing anything. She is not very happy. And she is again around 30, so she gets the same device again in her laboratory. And this time she returns much earlier, and now she is a student, so she can decide not to marry the same man and so on. But again, she is not really happy, and she starts to experiment with white laboratory mice, and she wants to discover how it all works, but I shall not tell the very end of the story.
It's a very big and broad question, the very current theme, which is looking back over 20 years. Could you say something about how you think the situation has changed for young women today? Because your book is very much focused on the opportunities or lack of opportunities facing a young woman in the 80s.
Some people are not very optimistic and say that the situation is the same all the time. But I feel that there is really some development, because at the beginning of 90s, you could not even pronounce the word feminism. People were instantly very angry. And today, everybody discusses relatively normally about feminist issues. And also from European Union comes some feminist agenda to our country. So it's not so bad, I hope. But I believe that young women still have such problems as I describe in my book. Like, it's not always easy to combine a career with having children, of course.
I'll just read a short extract from the book describing Nora, the central character's encounter with her ex-boyfriend. Suddenly I recollected Robert's terrific skin, soft as whipped cream, and how awfully attractive and pleasant his huge body was. I always used to nestle against him, wanting to cry without knowing why. Now I thought I'd die if I couldn't immediately touch him, or at least stroke his hand, but I had to contain myself again. The bus started its motor. I love its soothing, growling purr. It drew up at the stop and we both got on, the only 2 passengers. Then he managed to get my phone number, exactly as he did in my first life. I burst joyfully into the empty apartment. My husband was off in our country house with his mother. I was thrilled that I didn't have to immediately cook an evening meal, that I didn't have to do anything at all. I took a lukewarm shower, which was lovely as the weather was very hot, and gazed with satisfaction at my huge belly, on the middle of which the dark line was already starting to rise. My pregnancy had started to take me to a level of euphoric serenity, like a drug. I put a whole 1/2 pound of chocolate on a plate and switched on the TV. On one of the 2 channels there was a report from a pub, where several bricklayers sat contentedly with their beers. The reporter asked one of them, "So you're their boss? Do you think it's proper to drink beer with your men in your working hours?" I felt it was slightly embarrassing that the reporter was such a simple-minded, pontificating moralist, and of course he got a fitting answer. "What nonsense are you talking?" declared the boss vigorously in Slovak. "If we're expected to work, we have to drink first."
So Nora meets Robert in this excerpt, but Robert is not her ex-boyfriend. It's her lover, which she acquired in her marriage, which was perfectly normal in socialist times. And everybody had spouses and had lovers, and nobody thought it's something wrong. And I think this changed a lot. Today, people also have lovers, but they don't consider it quite a nice thing. When I wrote it, I didn't think it's something negative. It was normal. She had, of course, she had a lover. Normal, I think.
So maybe one thing since 1989 has been a shift in morality.
Definitely. I feel that my own children are much more moralist than my generation was.
Nora, the main character of Mad Woman, is an unusual female mad scientist, if you like, who invents this time machine. What about the other characters in the novel?
Some are really autobiographic. I think I can tell you that her husband is very similar to my own ex-husband. And my children love this book. They say that it's the best book which I ever wrote. Perhaps that's because they see how realistic it is. And I think the most despicable figure is her mother-in-law, which is also very naturalistic. And it's fairly typical for women in this period who were very, very manipulating and very dominant in their families. So these grandmothers, of course, cared of their children and grandchildren, but they cared too much.
I'll just read another extract from the book where you touch on this sort of artificial or really perverted role that was thrust on these middle-aged women, as you describe. On the other channel, there was some kind of soap opera or a TV play about family life which tried to lay bare the evils of our present society. Everything is the fault of the people, comrades. After a couple of scenes, I switched off the sound, crunched the chocolate with relish, and told myself, the frowning, shrieking woman is the mother of these innocent youngsters. It's self-evident. She's pretentious and consumerist. The downtrodden man is her husband, slaving away, almost killing himself moonlighting, because she forces him to earn more and more money. This silent girl who does nothing but gaze romantically is innocent youth itself. At the end of the story, she'll no doubt be a single mother. Good God, middle-aged mothers always get their just desserts. They order everybody about, are horribly greedy for money, villas, cars, and foreign holidays, and if the other members of the family don't obey them, these furies would nearly kill them. These wives are really awful. Everything's clearly their fault.
In socialism, officially in TV, in propaganda and so on, you could find these images of consumerism, and it was criticized very much, and very often it was personalized in these middle-aged women who were very manipulating and very dominant in their families, and they wanted to have a lot of money, a lot of Western goods and holidays in exotic countries and all these things, and it was wrong, of course, because they had to have some socialist ideas instead of this.
So this book has a strong autobiographical element, as have some of your other works. Have you ever found yourself getting into trouble because of this, or some people getting rather upset or angry the way they're depicted?
Not really, because fortunately my ex-husband and my ex-mother-in-law didn't read books at all. Sometimes it happened to me that some people felt offended, but they interpreted in a wrong way what I wanted to say, and they identified themselves with a figure which I didn't think of at all while writing, so I don't care what people think now.
You have been involved and are involved in not only writing as a novelist, as a journalist, you also translate, campaign for environmental issues, and have made TV programs on them. And one of your more recent projects has been to start teaching writing. For the past year and a half, you've had creative writing workshops.
I got this idea of these workshops when I worked in Marianne magazine, men's magazine, and we had there a competition of readers' stories. And there was tremendous amount of interested women, and I couldn't answer to all their queries, and everybody wanted some sort of opinion and some sort of critique. So I thought of organizing these workshops so that people come somewhere, they discuss their writing, and they pay something for it, of course.
You actually published a book of their work this year?
Yes, we published a collection of stories of our pupils. I did it with Vera Nosková, who is a well-known writer, and she's also a publisher, and she also teaches in my courses. So this is such a tiny, I think, quite beautiful book, and it's a wonderful present which these authors can give. They can present themselves as writers.
And these were mainly women in your group, and were they writing stories from their own life?
My workshops are not aimed only on women. It's also possible for men to come, but most men probably look at my web page and they see that there are mostly women, so they don't come. I have only a few men in my groups. So in this collection of stories, there are just women authors, and mainly they write kind of diaries. They write about their experience, they write about their memoirs. There is also one woman who is over 70, so she has real interest in memoirs. But there is also fiction. There are stories which are not based on their own life, which I think needs some higher level of creativity. So I try to stimulate them to do this also.
You just mentioned your website, and I'll give the link on the page of Czech Books, because there is something in English, and also people can see your wonderful paintings.
My main webpage is www.hauserova.cz, and from this page you can come to Tvůrčí psaní, this creative writing, and also to Přírodní zahrádky, which are garden design, permaculture garden designs.
If anybody goes to your website, as well as some links, unfortunately only in Czech, to your creative writing and to your eco-garden plans, there are also some wonderful examples of your cat paintings, and I'd like to ask you about your interest in cats and your interest in painting them.
Sometimes I like for relaxation to paint naive pictures, and mainly there are cats because it's so easy to paint cats, and I also love cats. But sometimes there are strange women figures, like from some fairy stories. So perhaps there is some sort of feminism in this painting too.
Thank you very much, Eva, for talking about your new book and some of your other ventures. And anybody who wants to find out more about your work can find out that on your webpage.
Thank you, too.